Om Shanti. Good morning. Thank you. Can I suggest that Dakshaven comes here and all the brothers move up so that you occupy seats a little bit closer? And I know translators may have to sit at the back, and bags can be put on the ground. Space is valuable, especially at the front. And there's a space right in the front for someone. Anyone? Come, come. And if your face is hidden, I recommend you adjust your chair a little bit so that it's not hidden. Say that again. Correct. Actually, I wasn't expecting a title, so, but that's fine. I was thinking that it's a rare occasion for all of us to meet together and for all of you to meet each other. I'm sure that you don't meet each other in this way in a small group. Madhuban, even though at the moment it's still not full, it's still becoming full, but yet still it's a few hundred, so not so easy for people to meet each other in an intimate way. So it's great that we have this opportunity. And so firstly, I wanted to say, is there anything that you want to talk about? You're going to hear a lot from me. There's class this evening and there'll be more along the way. But anything that you want to say or ask? How to renovate ourselves. Who feels they need a renovation? Reconstruction, restructure, renovate. Who feels that they need to do that? Only three out of the sisters. Now a few more. A few more thinking about it, but not quite sure whether they want a renovation or not. And this side of the room? Yes? Okay. So.
Explain to us a little bit about the virtues, particularly patience.
Okay. So that's two questions. Good. Did everybody hear that?
No.
You didn't. The translators didn't hear you. So you have to stand up. When it's a short comment, it's okay. But unless somebody knows how to use this mic, then we can pass the mic around. But he very courteously left the room so that we could have our private conversation. Okay, project. Now it's come. Yeah.
So at the moment I'm busy doing a graduate diploma in counselling and communication skills, and in that they have this theory called the paradoxical theory of change. And the more you try to change something, they say, the more it stays the same. So my feeling at the moment is that the closest I will get to my higher stage is complete self-acceptance. It's a journey I've been on for some time, but when I heard that thing about change, it made me really start to think, what is this change, you know?
Dakshaven? One second, does everybody know each other in the room? Okay, so what we'll do after Dakshaven gives us her name and her question or comment, then we'll go around the room and just have quick introductions.
Okay, I'm Daksha from London, and my question is to understand soul consciousness and with deeper understanding, deeper meaning.
And We now have a mic with a very long lead, which is great. So if we start with Pratibha Ben and move around and around, then we can get your name, your country, and what you do in Baba's work. Because even if you're not a resident in a center, you must be doing something, otherwise you wouldn't have survived this long, right? So what do you do for Baba?
Om Shanti, I'm Pratibha from South Africa and basically part of the NCT team in South Africa.
Yeah, show your faces when you share.
Om Shanti, it's Kanan, based now in Botswana and basically helping out in the center and running it.
Even though you're holding a mic, you need to...
Is it loud?
This is good, yeah.
Yes.
Talk to everyone, not just the front row.
Okay, Kanan from Botswana and running the center there.
Does everyone know where Botswana is on the map? No.
Africa. Southern part. I was 5 when I took the knowledge, so about 30 odd years.
Om Shanti.
Closer.
Om Shanti. I'm Jagruti from Leicester, Harmony House. What I do is create the blessings for the center. Yes.
Everybody doesn't know where Leicester is.
It's true. Leicester is in United Kingdom, in the Midlands region. Yes.
Okay.
It's about an hour and a half drive from London.
That's optimistic.
That's the traffic is good. Yes.
Okay. Used to be an hour and a half, and now I've realized it's minimum 2.
Om Shanti. My name is Linda, and I'm from Australia. And the center I'm in is Gold Coast, which is on the northeastern side of Australia. So I'm the coordinator there. It's not a very big center, but it's a very big tourist area. So I do a lot of outreach programs and also programs in the center. So, Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, I'm Sister Rosalind from...
Closer. Yeah.
From Hercules, California Center, helping out in San Francisco Center whenever they need help, which is all the big occasions. And I'm the assistant cook and bottle washer in Anabuti. I make all the desserts and all the cheesecake and toli.
At one point, Roslyn was in Hawaii, right? You were in Hawaii at one point, right?
I haven't been in Hawaii for 10 years.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But it's a place everybody's heard of. So this is how I wanted people to be aware.
Om Shanti, I am Susan and I live over at Peace Village, which is in U.S. in New York State. And we have a pretty small staff, so everyone there pretty much does a lot. But some of the things that I do, which is unique, is I kind of head the greenhouse and vegetable garden. So that's a nice thing to do, yeah. And amongst other things.
My name's Janet.
I'm originally from London. I was once travelling with Jenty Ben in a car and I said, I'm from London, I run in the centre in Ireland and I've got Australian sand scars. And they asked, what's Australian sand scars? And Jenty Ben said, she likes to travel. So I used to run centres in England and Ireland and I've been in Australia the last 15 years. And I renegotiated my deal with God about 15 years ago, and my job is to keep love alive in all situations, in all circumstances, with all people, starting with myself. So it's a big job, and I also help at the Wilton Retreat Center. Thank you.
I'm Charu.
and I come from London. I attend classes in Global House and do various odd jobs. Thank you.
Big jobs. Lots of jobs, but big ones.
Antonella from Italy. And I'm part of the NC team, and I'm living in a center and do everything all round, I think. Thank you.
Om Shanti. I'm from the Leicester Center, Harmony House. I'm doing the lots of job, but mostly I give the Hindi and Gujarati Raj Yoga meditation course.
And your name? Your name? Your name?
Jaya.
Okay. And I am Mani Ben's sister,
big sister.
Oh, you see, everybody knows Mani Ben.
Om Shanti. I am Jyotsna from Nairobi, Kenya. I am NC team coordinator there in Kenya, and many years knowledge and give all type of services.
National Coordinating Team, NCT. We very rarely have a single person coordinating a country. Now it's become too big, too complicated. So there's a team.
Om Shanti. I'm Urvishi, also from Nairobi, Kenya, and NC team. I do everything.
Our name is Manu. I'm from London, in knowledge for past 42 years. Jain has been my first teacher. Because of a welcome, I have progressed. So my hobby now is to give this knowledge to the Shudras and make sure they turn into Brahmins. I try my level best.
Baba uses that word, we shouldn't use it. Baba uses the word Shudra, but we shouldn't use
it. Om Shanti. Oh, I'm from proper London Center, GCH.
Om Shanti. I'm from Canada, Toronto Center, and I'm an aerospace engineer, and I do work also, and over the weekend and some other times, whenever they need a help in the center, I am there with the Toronto Center.
Your name?
Kantilas.
Om Shanti. I am Drupnath from Mauritius. We have a retreat center where I conduct courses there also. We have lots of activities there. It's by the seaside. And I know Sister Jayanti in 1976, you had given a lecture in the Divinizer Man Conference in Bombay. So you are there. So we also have a group which conducts yoga courses, diploma in yoga and alternate therapy courses, and thousands of people have taken Baba's knowledge through that course. Thank you.
Om Shanti. I am Brother Sajid from Mauritius. I live in the center. I also have a Lokik job. I stay in the center, which has been inaugurated and baptized by none other than Sister Jayanti 25 years ago, and his name is Global Peace House. Om Shanti.
I'm from London. I'm just a new student and learning nothing else, and trying to be some to learn something.
My name is Siri. I'm a Shashi and a River Didi. I go to their house.
Whose house?
Shashi Didi.
Shashi Bin.
Shanti.
Om Shanti. Hi, my name is Suman. At the moment, I'm in Global Corporation House, and the only thing I'm coordinating is myself.
Which is a big job, like Baba said today. Many blessings for that.
Om Shanti. I'm Linda. I live in Brighton, which is south of London, and I also just coordinate myself, and I do the washing up.
And run lots of centres and activities in many new places.
I'm Shanti, my name is Myra, I come from Scotland, and I have lived in centres, but now I live up in the Scottish Highlands. and do service in and around that area. I've been in Gyan 35 years, and I was a vegetarian cook for 17 years, and I do that for mainly the Edinburgh Centre. I go down and help out there sometimes and cook for everybody.
My name is Jenny, and I took knowledge in Perth, Australia. And I'm not doing much of centre service, but I'm doing some translating main classes for myself, but sustaining myself. But some non-BKs in Korea, they like about these main classes of the teachers, because I don't know, because they are serious about practices, I think. Practicing meditation practice and whatever practice, they are serious. So they listen to it and they change their life.
Jenny is the founder of the center in Korea. Everybody's very modest, and I have to keep adding bits.
I am Michel, body is French, coordinator of Serbia, traveling around the world, and I manage 84 births in one birth, and manage many sanskars as well in front of me, not just inside but outside. Okay, so, and I learned my job of being God's instrument for dealing with souls in front of me. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. I'm Olivier from France. I'm running the Marseille Center in south of France, and I'm part of a national team. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Soy de Guatemala y soy la coordinadora de todo el centro de Baba y hacemos de todo.
She says she's Leticia from Guatemala, and she coordinates so many things and doing everything also, you know. I'm Anne from Guatemala. We are both 30 years in Yen, and I also do everything. Small centers, you know. I'm sure.
We're doing introductions, Walter. Yes. Take your time. Bodies are getting old.
You're getting older and older. Om Shanti. My name is Walter. I'm from Holland, and I'm cooking and creating all the travels for all the people who come to India, and I don't know. Anything that comes in front, I say yes. Om Shanti.
And a trainer for the best cooks in the Yagya. So he is the master, and he trains many others. I'm one of the founders of Holland.
Mon nom est Christian, je viens de France. J'appartiens au centre de Marseille, dont je fais un peu de service au centre et du service à l'extérieur pour les loukiks.
Christian qui vient de Marseille. Christian from Marseille is running the center of Marseille, and he does service around Marseille.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, je m'appelle Serge, je viens de France, dans une petite ville du nord-est de la France où je suis le seul brahmina. Om Shanti. Verdun.
Serge from France, in place called Verdun, and he's alone and lonely in this place.
Alone? Yeah. Alone.
And I am Zakia from France, around Paris.
Welcome.
I'm original from Holland, and for the last 14 years in London, Global Cooperation House, and I'm helping in the maintenance department, and I have time also in many other departments when there is a need, I step in.
Many departments. Was that useful for everyone? Good reminder for some and good introductions for some, because some names we get to know, but we don't get to know names and countries. We sort of recognize the faces, but we don't always know the detail. So it's important that at least this small group should get to know each other. Okay, so the first question was about renovation. The second question was about how to develop patience. And the third question was about soul consciousness. So I'll kick off, and then I'm expecting all of you to join in and tell me what you're doing about it. Okay? So okay, well, as I say, I'll kick it off and then you can add your thoughts on all the subjects too. Usually when we talk about renovation, it's about buildings, but it also definitely applies to the soul. And in terms of the soul, if you think about what happens in a renovation, you break down a few things and you create a few things. And that's what's happening within the soul. Old habits need to be broken down and new habits begin to be allowed to be emerged. And Janet's contribution was very helpful, especially in today's blessing, where Baba said, if there's sometimes tension about attention, then that's no use. Because any type of tension, even if it's for attention, is going to create stress inside the soul. And so that's not very useful for transformation. If I bring the word back to transformation, which is the usual word that Baba uses, maybe it puts it into context. So at this moment of time, 30 years, 40 years, however long it's been, let me take a pause. And I know that some of you will be busy attending meetings within a few days' time, but at least this is the space before meetings. I don't think that there are many meetings except the RCO meeting before Baba's meeting, is that right? Anyone involved in other meetings before then? No. So between today and Shivratri is a very good opportunity. Even that is a whole week. And so a good opportunity to do both of these things. What is it that I need to break down and get out of the way? And what is it that I need to water and nurture and help maintain and sustain? So there are certain habits that we've developed over the years, and we don't always see them as being an obstacle in our progress. But if I begin to think about what is Baba expecting of me, then I begin to notice all the little habits which may just have been out of carelessness, maybe they've been there because of busyness. Busyness is a big, big factor for many of us. Or carelessness and laziness, or maybe just comfort. It's more comfortable to do things in a particular way. And so what are those habits? Subtle, not so subtle. Things that are visible to others, but not so visible to me. What is it that I hear most complaints about when people are talking to me or about me? I'm sure I'm picking up some things.
And usually it's probably one or two things that people comment on the most. And so what are those things? Is there something that I need to sort out? I can't just ignore it and say, well, that's them. But they're giving me a signal. And let me appreciate that it is something that I need to give attention to. And so that's the first thing. What is it that I need to clear out, get rid of, so that then at this moment here in Madhuban, in your own home countries, there's Lokik family, there's Lokik work, there's work at the center, there's studies, whatever there is. But it takes a big, big chunk of time. And so here I am now with this space that I can fill in any way that I choose. And let me take full advantage of that. And so the clearing. And then secondly, the things that I know I do are good. Can I give them more attention and develop them and enhance them more so that they become so powerful that the others can really be erased? In Kuwait, we came back from Kuwait yesterday, and the program was called Awakening Inner Potential and Power. And it's a title for outsiders, but today Life Baba said, you're awake, and then sometimes you nod off, and then you suddenly sit up with a jerk and say, what happened? So now at this moment, can I see my own goodness? And one of the things that came up in Kuwait was how, if you're a good leader, then you see the strengths of people and you bring those strengths together. And so 30 plus years in Gyan, you don't necessarily call yourself a leader, but others see you as being way ahead of them. Whether you have a title or you don't have a title is irrelevant. It really doesn't matter. But people see you as the one with 30 plus, maybe 40 plus experience, years of experience. And so they are looking at you, whether you want to be noticed or not, but even within a little circle, they'll be looking at you because they'll see you as taking the lead. And so taking the lead means being the leader. And so am I able to do that for myself? Am I able to see my own strengths and use them more and more? And if I can do that for myself, then I'll be able to see the strengths of others and help them move forward on the basis of those strengths also. So, in summary, I see that that's what renovation is about. Renewing myself, refreshing myself, being able to take a big leap forward. Because it is a special time in Sangam Yuga. It's interesting, I thought that the first question you would all ask me is, how are the daddies? Nobody asked me.
You give him, you know, regularly about daddies.
How are they?
Can we see them on Facebook as well?
Yes, but Facebook sometimes carries photographs 20 years ago. There was a photograph that was circulated recently. That was like, I don't know how many years ago, both daddies still had black hair. So that's how long ago it was. Anyway, so Daddy Gulzar is on the mend, which means that she was in intensive care for several days and maybe more than a week already. Yeah, I think it's more than a week she was in intensive care. And if it was a Lokik person, the condition I saw her in before I left for Kuwait was, I thought she's about to go. But I knew that being Baba's child, there's constant miracles that happen. And so then 2 days later, and again
yesterday I heard she is on the mend. You know, when you catch an infection in your lungs at that age, 90 plus, and you're already fragile, it can go in any direction, really. But she's on the mend, so it's good news. But she's still, as of today, in ICU. Now let's see further. But it's good that over the last 2 years we've been used to not having Daddy come for Baba's Day, and somehow everybody takes benefit because Baba's been teaching us to go up rather than expecting Baba to come down, but all of us go up. So what will happen for Shivratri, who knows? Because even in October when I saw her before I went back to London, I again thought, he's not going to make it for Baba's Day. And at that time, Baba's Day was, I think, November the 5th, something like that. But she made it, and it was beautiful. So the last three meetings, November, two in December, are very lovely. But that's Daddy Gulzar, Daddy Janki. She's flitting around in 12 days, which is the longest trip she's ever had out of Madhuban for India. Abroad is different, but in India, I lost track of how many places she went to, at least 7 or 8. And it was just stunning news coming from everywhere. The most stunning, I mean, which is the most stunning, it's difficult to pick, but in Mysore, Hansaben was remembering that they had over 200 saints. Sadhus, not just mediocre but really high level. And the main person who had organized everything, he came at night to receive Daddy, meet Daddy, then he came next day to the program. And even Hansa was stunned at how much happened in Mysore, and she sees gatherings of like 50,000, 80,000, you know, she's used to all of that. But a gathering of 200 saints, that was quite something apparently. And the other thing was, the same person who was a chief minister of Andhra Pradesh had given us land, which at that time was like in the jungle in Hyderabad. And today it's right in the heart of the IT world. And so here you have Baba Center, and literally the adjoining wall and the gate is next door to the IT industry and big companies. So the same guy, Chandra Babu Naidu, the chief minister, that state got divided into two last year or 2 years ago, and so he's now no more Andhra Pradesh. He's now, yes, that's right, he's still Andhra Pradesh, but the other side where Hyderabad is now Telangana. And so I'd never heard of this name Amravati, and I thought it was some little village somewhere. It sounds like a little village, doesn't it, Amravati? That's my impression at least. But apparently it's the capital of Andhra Pradesh now. Hyderabad is now in Telangana, and this is now the capital. And again, he's given space for a retreat center. And so more for him, rather than even the space, 2 acres or something, or 10 acres, I've forgotten, 10 acres, I think. So that space is for Baba, and it was literally just today that Daddy was there. And apparently what you have to do, you might have seen this in the days of Daddy Prakash Muni here, but they dig a big hole and you actually have to go down into the hole and put in gold and silver and all the precious metals and rice and sugar and all the good things of life, and to symbolize abundance of everything. And so Daddy's not going to go down in a wheelchair now. And so apparently he went down in a hole, and then they would give Daddy something and he would respectfully take it from Daddy. He refused to do anything himself first. He said Daddy had to do it. So he took everything from Daddy, bit by bit by bit. And you don't all just collect it and dump it, but you take it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, with a lot of respect for the earth and nature. And so apparently that was very special. Okay, so lots of good things. So Daddy's in good form, and I'm sure she's going to come up for the flags, which start on the 8th. They've had a few downstairs already, but here on the 8th.
Sorry? There's something on the 8th, some... Yeah. The dates got changed. Something was happening tomorrow here. But Dr. Nirmala only arrives here tomorrow, and being the director for Gyan Sruva, they changed the date. So that's on the 9th now. So 8th and 9th. So that's the news. Renovation? Renewal? Anything anybody else wants to share? No one? 30 plus years of experience? It is useful, so thank you for that. I think even before the question of facing, that line that I need to have, what is it that I must tolerate? And if you look at the picture there, opposites, so what is it that I'm having to tolerate, and what is it that I should be facing? And generally my own thought is that in terms of tolerance, if it's not a question of a matter of principles, then let me tolerate it, adjust with it. Even adjusting is a good word. And so maybe you want pizza and I want sabzi roti. But one day we can have pizza, another day we can have sabzi roti, vegetables and roti. It doesn't have to be pizza all the time. It's not useful. It doesn't have to be vegetables and roti all the time. So, okay, I can adjust with it. It's not even so much tolerance, but many, many things I'm having to tolerate so much. This person only cooks Indian food all the time, or this person only cooks pasta all the time, you know. And then we think that that's such a big deal to tolerate. And in a way it is, yes, because food is life. And so it has a big impact on everything. But it's okay. Let's talk it over and adjust it so that then it's a compromise. Or maybe lunch is pasta and evening is vegetables and rice, you know, whatever. But to face really means when it's a question of principles. When things are not aligned to Baba's principles, then at that moment, do I have the capacity to be able to face it? And yes, to be able to face it without being confrontational or aggressive. Sometimes when you're facing something, it's easy to develop a tone of aggression because I feel I'm right. And so I feel I have the right and the authority to be bossy and say, it should be like this. But that's not facing, that's jumping, reacting. It's actually reacting. And so what I'm saying may be right, but what's the tone with which I'm saying it? And maybe that's one of the comfort zones that I'm in. I think, well, I always check with Baba and I make sure that what I'm saying is right, but have I checked with Baba, what is my attitude? Is it one really of wanting things to improve? And in that case, it's not going to improve if I'm aggressive about it, because then whatever is wrong, but my aggression is adding to the wrongness. And so am I able to be the observer and observe myself and my feelings and the process that Janet described, and then with respect talk about whatever we need to talk about? And so reacting or responding, that is then the question. But the first question is it just because I like it like this? Or is it because it's really a question of right or wrong? Yeah?
Can I ask a question? This is for nothing to do with what you've been saying.
Well, can you wait? Because then it's a different topic and we can pick it up later. Yeah? Misha? Sit with them quietly and say, do you want to check this with the senior? Do you want to check this with Baba Smirli? Because my experience tells me that this isn't quite as it should be. but it's okay. You don't have to believe me. Look for it in the Murli. Or, if you want, check with somebody who you respect. And don't give them a name. Check with so-and-so, because they maybe don't know that person, maybe they don't trust that person. So just say somebody who's been around a while and someone you trust. Yeah, try it. And even then they may not change. And then you've done your bit. And you just have to accept.
For example, when it's time for end, I mean, we just stay there, you know?
You can't make them resign. According to drama, whatever it is that put them there, maybe it's because they were the only one in the country. Or maybe they were the only one with the skills at that time. And you can't say to them, now we found somebody better than you.
No, but just on the day, you know, or even in my room, for example.
No, if it's in your room, then you can say, I'm sorry, but I need my space for whatever else I need to do. I need to get on with other things.
Even that is so that office,
you know? No. That you can definitely stand up and say, well, if you want to sit here, fine, I'll go somewhere else. I've had to do that sometimes. Okay, carry on sitting. But I have something else to do. So you have to find a way without kicking them out. And especially with the center, and if they're one of the foundation of the group, then you can say, okay, well, you look after the center and I'll be back. Yeah. Okay. Patience. Many different aspects of this, and firstly, even to notice, you know, the Baba's mantra about checking and changing. So sometimes if we check just at the end of the day, it's too long. You won't remember by the end of the day at what moment it is you lost your patience, unless it was a big explosion. And you don't want big explosions to come anyway, so that's not a good time. But to get into the habit of checking, even the hourly traffic control, I don't know if the music's going to come on or not. It should. Maybe. Okay, we'll see for a few minutes, and if it doesn't, we'll have our own traffic control. But the thing about that is that it's not just saying, okay, let me forget everything and remember Baba. Whatever it is you've done that's not been accurate is going to come jumping in front of you at that moment, if you're used to checking. And so just check and see what's going on. And if you can identify what's happening, what is it that makes me impatient? Impatient is the next thing, but there's something that triggers the impatience. And so what is it that's triggering it? And if you can identify, maybe it's one person who talks too much and I get irritated with that. Maybe it's one person who keeps coming late and so everything has to wait for them and everybody's time and energy is lost. Maybe somebody who's doing the cooking, and you've told them many times not to put so much oil in the food, but they still keep doing it. Now I'm getting a bit impatient and irritated with it. So it could be anything, but let me identify what it is. And then once I've identified what it is, and in my checking, I'm also checking, is it just me? Or is it really that what they're saying and doing is out of line? And if it's just me, then yeah, it's me and my sanskar, because I know I like X, Y, Z. And so this is why I'm reacting. But if it's something that really is impacting many others, somebody coming late into class and creating a noise, and you only have 10 students in the class anyway, and so if noise is created and everybody's disturbed, then you know it's not just you, but it's something that's important for everyone. And so you sit with them quietly and you say to them, you know, maybe there's a reason why you come late. Okay, well, let me know what that is. And then I'll at least understand. But say to them that, you know, many others are also being disturbed by your coming late. I'm just giving one example, but you can see how the process works. What is it that's disturbing me? And is it just me? Or is it everybody around me that's getting disturbed? And then a very gentle traffic control. So in this way you get to know yourself more and more and you stop reacting. Our habit is to react first and think later. But that's an old habit, so one of the things that I have to deconstruct in my renovation is this habit of reactions. Just a moment of pause. A moment of pause. Okay? If I'm cooking, it's not necessarily a factor of slowly. If I say I'm only going to stir the pot slowly, it might be getting burned somewhere. So there's a time when I need to do quick stirring. So I don't think it's a sort of mantra that you can apply to everything. But yes, there's a whole movement now in Europe, definitely, and America, I think, called going slow. And so slow eating, slow to respond to emails, slow to walk. So there's some merit there. But patience is more than just doing things slowly. Patience is really having that generosity of heart in which if others are not doing as I want them to, I'll say, okay, it's okay. Or if others don't have the same capacity that I do, whether it's in making a phone call, writing an email, you know. So patience, it's okay. Let everything happen in its own time. Yeah? There's a difference between patience and slow. So slow is not necessarily patience. Yeah? Clear?
I would like some of the people, I'm not saying anything to you, but some of the people, they speak so fast.
Yeah.
And does it mean that they should speak with more patience?
I think it's a bit more attention. They have so many things they want to share, but they're not quite grasping that people are not catching it. And so, rather than any other word, I'd say just that attention. Yeah? I think listening takes more patience than when you're talking. In talking, it's just that you're catching all the ideas and moving with that. And so this is, I think, just that awareness that people might not be catching everything as quickly as I'm thinking and speaking. So let me slow down a bit.
So that's where the consideration for the others come into this?
Yeah, definitely. Because otherwise I'm speaking to myself. But the point of speaking is that it should be that others benefit. Yeah. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to add to patience? What do I add? Patience for the self. So, things aren't changing as fast as I would like them to, but it's okay. I'm going in the right direction. I'm doing what Baba's asking me to do, and it'll happen. So trust. Patience also means trust. Somebody else is not changing as quickly as I would like them to. Trust. It's okay. It'll happen. Yeah? Very definitely. Mustn't compare it with complacency. It's the opposite. Yeah. Complacency is actually stuck. It's not patience. It's habit. That's right. So like with Jagdishpai, no matter how often you stopped him and say the translators aren't keeping up, but he had so much he wanted to share. And he was, you know, sharing it quickly. So it's habit also.
No, because I've got another question I have to deal with first. Okay, and I'm keeping a watch on the clock. A watch on the clock. Soul consciousness. One is that basic awareness of, am I feeling the soul, seeing the soul, speaking as a soul, rather than just this identity. And that's first lesson, definitely, but we still need to be reminded of that first lesson. On a deeper level, soul consciousness means not many thoughts. The mind is clear and it's clean, so that I'm able to understand clearly what's going on. Otherwise, if I'm caught up in my own thoughts, I've already approached a situation with a judgment, with a critical factor, because it's based on past experience. It's not being open to the moment. And so soul consciousness at this moment means coming with a blank sheet, no thoughts, or just one or two positive thoughts, and approaching the other in that awareness, with that positive attitude and vision. That's one very simple way to check whether I am inside or I am outside. And so soul consciousness is working from that state of introversion, where I'm really looking at myself and seeing what's happening here, rather than just using these two eyes and seeing what's going on there and then jumping to conclusions. Because when you're using just the two eyes, very easy to jump. But in soul consciousness, introversion, I'm connecting with my own inner peace and truth, and then I'm open to hearing and seeing what's going on. So too many thoughts is a very powerful indicator that there isn't soul consciousness. Soul consciousness means few thoughts, pure thoughts, elevated thoughts. Yeah? Go on.
Connected to the subject, is someone which is not a BK can be soul conscious?
Yes, I think so. I think they might not use the word soul. They might not even have the clear definition of mind, intellect, sanskaras, etc., 84 births, etc., etc. But they're aware of that inner being. And so there's a few writers out there who've written about soul consciousness. And one of them I've read. And just one book, no more than that. But yes, there seems to be a practice in which they've, through their own research and development, they've come to that inner awareness.
Do they reach the point to say soul consciousness, or is just a kind of inner awareness of something of the self, but without seeing that that is the soul?
They wouldn't be able to define the soul for you. So we wouldn't say that they are soul conscious in the way Baba teaches us, but they're very aware of the inner world, and they know about the impact of past births. They know about the impact of many present thoughts, or the impact of infancy and childhood on the state of consciousness and awareness, and how even personality is something that interferes. And I'm thinking about Eckhart Tolle, and as I say, I've just read one of his books, and it's one of the few that I've read since I came to Baba. But it's a very good description of practice of soul consciousness. Even
even at that, I would say, I can't make a judgment about others. Yeah. And maybe rather than judgment, maybe you'd use the word decision. Always keep that vision of goodness and the hope that there's change. And then if things turned out differently, then time will tell. But keep that vision of hope and goodness. One of Dadi Janki's specialities, I'd say, is she never gives up on anyone. She always has good wishes and good hopes for them. She knows them pretty well. It's a different scene today, but you know how Dadi has worked through the years. And so she knows you, but she still has the highest hopes and good wishes for you. And she'll maintain that no matter what. So it's possible. Okay, what about your question now?
We all have the racehorse. We all have the race course. And being the horses. So, what's the qualification for the first 8 winners? 108 and then 16,108.
Dadi Janki's taken this up many, many times. Okay, the first 8, I think basically it's that they don't make mistakes and they haven't then had to go back and correct them or change them. They would have adhered to what Baba is saying, rather than go against what Baba is saying. So this is why Baba says the 8 don't experience any punishment. Right? That's been directly from the Murali, never mind anyone's churnings. And then the 108, number-wise, they've had to battle, but by the end of the Sangam Yuga, they've had victory. And the longer the period of victory they've had before the end, the higher the status. So those who are very close to the 8, but not quite the 8, number 9, number 10, etc., they've been in that stage in which there's been no mistakes for a long time. Not just at the end of Sangam Yuga, but longer period. But definitely victory, victorious souls, not the souls that are battling at the end, but the souls who've actually had victory. Then the 16,108, they're the ones who have had some sort of stuff going on that hasn't allowed them to have total victory. So until the end, there's a little bit of a battle going on, whatever it may be, whether it's attachment, whether it's ego, but something like that. So that's a simple way for me to look at it.
Does it mean they kept on making mistakes as well and reforming mistakes?
Yes.
And that's how the time passed away? And
then that's right.
The end of the result will be there on 16,000
mistakes? Yeah. Effort, not just time. It's a question of effort. So if I've made effort today to have victory, that's what determines the time. It's not time that determines my effort. My effort determines the period of time I've been able to enjoy victory in Sangam Yuga. Okay, so it's interesting. 1 week before meetings for most of us, not for me, but for most of us. And I think it's a good time to really work on the self because, yes, there's classes morning and evening.
and take advantage of everything. Even if you've heard things before, I think reminders are always useful. When we hear the Murali, we've heard a lot of it before, but still suddenly something strikes us from the Murali. You know, there's a sentence that jumps out and it touches you, and you think, I didn't realize this before. So, worth attending classes to be in that atmosphere, to be in that gathering. So, being part of the gathering, creating the right atmosphere, adding to the vibrations, and of course then your personal time and however much time you can give for actual sitting down yoga. And most of us don't get a lot of sitting down time yoga in our own places, but here you don't have to think about cooking and cleaning and shopping and laundry and many things that are normally part of life anyway, and you're used to that. But all of those cut, and there's a lot of time that's suddenly saved. And even the interactions with other Brahmins, I think that's also very much beneficial, because just that connecting and getting to know what's happening in other people's lives and situations. I remember last year, or maybe it was a year before, there was a brother from Syria who was in Madhuban, and it happened in the NCCC retreat, the National Coordinators and Center Coordinators retreat. But he shared his experience and people were just stunned. You know, how is it that you go to Syria? He's Syrian, but he took Yan in Kuwait. Had a very comfortable situation in Kuwait. Kuwait is one of the Gulf countries that still has oil and will probably have it for some time. And so the locals, and anyone Arab is then local, but they have a really comfortable way of life. And yet he renounced that because the war had already started, but he decided he needed to go back to Syria. And we were concerned about his safety. And then the 10 days he did spend in prison, and he lived on bread and water. Couldn't take in food. And it was just because somebody had complained, and it was a suspicion. And then it was somebody from Kuwait who contacted higher officials and gave them money, and he could be free. So it's a very real situation of, you know, what it is you're exposed to and how anybody can make a complaint about you. You're just there to give gyan. But gyan being what it is, especially in those countries, somebody complained and they came in one morning and took him off. So he shared some of his experiences and his efforts. And so people were quite stunned by what he shared. But amazing service. He has a class of 30 Pakka Brahmins. And they're Pakka. All of them have been to Madhuban. Most of them have been to Madhuban over the years. They can't come every year, but some, one or two have come every year, but mostly they come every few years. So, I mean, that's one example, and maybe there's nothing as drastic as that. But people face challenges that we don't even realize. You know, what would you do if suddenly salt were rationed? You couldn't get salt. How long would it take you to adjust to eating without any salt available at all? And there are countries where that happens. So we are lucky. We are still comfortable. And so, but at that time, within the first week, when you had to do it, instead of remembering God, it takes a little while to get used to anything, even if it's better for you. Okay, let's have a moment of silence together.